All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up or turn your phone on to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 13 through 16. And I'm going to be talking about something that is really miraculous if you look at it from a biblical standpoint. And it's also something that a lot of times we don't think of as being super, super important. And kind of to continue about the story about my hearing, it kind of started before that. I kind of just shared the part that got me in trouble. I had started having trouble hearing before children's sermon, and my wife, of course, living with me, was the one who was able to say, I'm tired of screaming. Have any of you men ever had your wife say, I'm tired of screaming, you ought to be able to hear me? And so, yeah, I see those hands. And so, you know, but that's one thing. You know, selective listening sometimes as a husband, you know, where you select to hear what you want to hear. But I kind of knew it wasn't selective hearing. I couldn't hear. Well, I didn't want to admit it, because who wants to admit they're losing the hearing? I mean, you know, I didn't want to admit I was 65, but I'm 65. And then I'm losing my hearing. Now, they kind of had this family intervention. You ever heard of a family intervention? My children start agreeing with their mom that I can't hear. They'd say, well, Dad, you can't hear. Dad, you can't hear. It'd be the oldest. It'd be the youngest. It'd be my daughter. Dad, you can't hear. And so eventually, after a period of time of hearing them tell me that I couldn't hear, I started thinking maybe I had a hearing problem. Now, it's very important to be able to hear your wife. It's very important to be able to hear your children. And I realized I had a problem. But I'm cheap. That's another problem. And I knew hearing aids were not free. And so I had every kind of excuse, like, well, I'm just going to be deaf, and, you know, and then she starts telling me that's not good to be deaf, and all of a sudden, for some reason, her insurance sent her an email that said that they would check my hearing for free, and if I had a hearing problem, I could get a $3,000 pair of hearing aids for $19.95. Now, y'all may think my wife is very laid back and quiet, but basically here's how it went down. She came in and said, God answered your prayer. You're going to get your hearing checked, and if you need hearing aids, you're getting hearing aids. And guess what I said? Yes, ma'am. So I went, and they told me, Mr. Ashburn, you can't hear children or women. And so, therefore, for $19.95, I got the hearing aids. Now, Greg thinks I can't hear with them. I probably need to have them rechecked. And let me tell you what. Let me go back to the hearing, how important it is to hear. If I would have listened to the experts back in the day when I was young and could hear, and they would say, you teenagers, look up here for me just a second. They kept saying, don't listen to your music really, really, really loud. Don't listen to your AirPods, because we didn't even have AirPods back then. You'll lose your hearing. They're telling the truth. Had I not done that, if I wouldn't have gone to quite a few non-Christian loud concerts, I might have my hearing today. But there's consequences when you don't hear and listen and obey. Mine is I lost a portion of my hearing. Now, I say all of that to say this. And I'm telling you up front, point number one's a lot longer than the other two, because there's just so much there. And the other two are pretty concise. Being able to hear God speak in a public setting like a sermon is a supernatural event that is really neat. You need to understand, before we had we did not get the New Testament until the 330 AD area, Constantine. We didn't have a New Testament. We had the Old Testament. We had the teaching of the apostles and the disciples, and they would go around and they would go to new churches and they would memorize the stories, and they would go to churches like Thessalonica, and the pastor would not say, turn in your Bible, because you did not have one. He would share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in the early church, the most important way to grow and to learn was in a public setting where you had to listen. You didn't have Bible studies in a book. You had Bible studies discussing what you heard. The primary way people learned in the old day, the old church, the New Testament church, is through listening. And so it was very important when you came to church that you listened. Because it was through the sermon, it was through studies where God spoke. And you say, Bill, this sounds supernatural. It is supernatural to think that God could use a dumbo like me to share God's word in a way that might make a difference in someone else's life. Is really scary and supernatural at the same time. And the thing that I want you to see is that Paul is talking to this church in Thessalonica. He was only there about 3 weeks to maybe 3 months at the most. And the only way he was able to help them was to speak to them. And during those 3 weeks to 3 months, the church started off what he said. Now, more important than what he said is what they heard and obeyed. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is evaluating. You may be here, but do you hear what God wants to say to you? Are you listening? Are you allowing God to speak to you? So let's look at these verses. There's only verses 13 through 16, but they're powerful and they're supernatural. Look at verse 13. He says, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received His message, if I had my Bible, I would circle received. It means to intellectually understand. And the first step in hearing God is to intellectually understand what the speaker says. He says, we never stop thanking God that when you received His message from us. It's not Paul's message. It's God's message to them through Paul. He says, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted that word, accepted. If I was you, I would circle it. You accepted. I love the way it really expresses, if you look at the word, it really is you welcomed. It means you internalized what Paul said. You not only intellectually understood it, you took it one step further. It went into your heart. You see, you can hear with your mind. You can intellectually understand. But if it doesn't get into your heart, there's not going to be real change. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's churches in Judea, who, because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus. Now, they have persecuted us too. They failed to please God and work against all humanity as they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. By doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the anger of God has caught up with them at last. So what is he talking about? Well, the very first thing that is just really neat to me is this. God works supernaturally through the preaching of his word. Now, in chapter 1, in verses 2 and 3, he thanked God for the Thessalonians because their lives had changed. They went from being one kind of person to being a different kind of person. In chapter 2, he is thanking God that they listened. That they listened to him as he shared the gospel, as he shared the stories of Jesus. Paul was thankful that they were hearing what God wanted to say to them. Now, it's kind of troubling if you think about it, because today there is such little value placed on hearing in a group setting. Today, the motto of people is, oh, I can stay at home and hear God by myself. And God does speak at home when I'm by myself. But that's never his plan. One of his plans, in addition to that, is speaking to us in a group setting. And here we are in Thessalonica, and Paul is teaching these people, and what Paul said is really cool is that they are understanding it. They received it. And that word received means to understand. They heard. What do we do on Sunday morning with the children? We try to help them understand it. What do I do every Sunday? I try to help you understand it. What's it? The Word of God. It begins with understanding. Now, if you're not listening to me, you're not going to understand it. It's just like sitting through, gosh, I can't even imagine. Bethany told me, what was that awful class, physics? Is that what you have right now? I can't imagine sitting through a physics class. Because you have to pay attention to get it. You can sit there and look at the teacher and not receive the message. You have to sit there and look at the teacher, receive the message, and go home and work on the message some more. And so Paul is saying, the thing that just makes me so excited is you listened. And listen, there is nothing more exciting in the Christian life when someone starts to get it. But it's more than just that receiving, because receiving primarily has to do with hearing. You can hear, understand it. Listen, most people I know a few stories of the Bible. But there's a huge difference between hearing and getting it way down inside you. And that's where you get to that word that I said accepted could really be welcomed. And it has to do with your heart. You see, your heart in biblical terms is your will. It's where you receive the word inside you deeply, where you start to do the word. There's a huge difference between knowing and doing. And these Thessalonians, they welcomed the word. They pulled it deep inside. They didn't just have head knowledge, they had heart knowledge. And when you have heart knowledge, you start to have life change. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, deeply. It's taking it from here to here. And when it gets in your heart, it starts to mess you up. A lot of people hear, but they don't get it in them. You see, I believe As strange as it may seem, and I never want you to think that I'm God, but it's strange to me that God can take what I say from His Scripture and He can bring it to your head first and then to your heart where it changes the way you live. It's the only word to describe that is supernatural. And I can't tell you the number of people that have shared through the years, I used to be this way, but now I'm this way. God's Word got inside me. God's Word dwelled within me. And it's just important to understand that as God's Word starts to get into your life, it begins to change your life. Now, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and this is important, that we need to understand that God's Word is not like man's Word. It's totally different. The Scripture that we have now is not meant to be just understood up here. It's meant to be applied and change the way you live. And that's why it's so important to get it from here to here. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired by God. And then he says this, and it's useful to teach you what is true. Now here's the deal. You got the world out there telling you what is true. Just look at the news page sometimes, and the stupid things that we buy today in our thinking is unreal to me. They just don't make sense, but in today's world, if so-and-so is an authority, we believe it. Truth about the world, about God, and about man should not come from the world. It comes from His Scripture. He says, it is to teach us what is true. Truth comes from His Word. And then He says, not only is it to teach us what is true, it's to make us realize what is wrong. What? We want to know what's wrong with us. What's wrong with us? And we'll pay lots of money for someone to try and tell us what's wrong with us. But I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We're broken. Every single one here is united in being messed up in some way. Would you agree? We're all broken. And what God says is, hey, listen. It started back in Genesis chapter 3. You got broken. All of you are broken. And ever since Adam, we've been continually to be broken. That's why I sent my Son to put you back together. And the Scripture teaches us what is wrong. Don't ask some authority about what is moral and what is immoral. Ask God. Ask His Word. You see, Scripture is here to teach us what is wrong in our lives. And yet, people aren't hearing it because we want to hear what we want to hear, not what God wants to say. This is a new group of pagans. They're new to the faith. There's never been a church in Thessalonica, and now there's a church, and Paul is saying, this is how you should live. And they're going, what? It used to be okay to do that. And Paul's saying, no, no. Not only does it point out what is wrong in your lives, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. People are so funny. So someone comes and hurts them. What do I do? Well, you go to them and talk to them. And you try to get it straight. You correct the problem. You don't need a doctor's degree in biology or theology to learn that God's Word will teach you. If you mess up and you fail God, what do? Go to a priest? No, you confess your sins and He is faithful to cleanse you and give you another chance. God's Word not only points out what's wrong, God's Word teaches us how to fix it. If you offend someone, you say, I'm sorry. Whatever happened to that in the world today? Whatever happened to saying, I'm sorry? It's one of the most beautiful words you can hear is, I'm sorry. If you say, you made me, that's not beautiful. It's the thing we do in our culture. Well, if they wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't have said, you're already screwed up. People are going to always say things. But he teaches us how to fix what we break. And then it says God uses it to prepare us and equip his people to do every good work. In other words, you can't be what God wants you to be until you listen to his word. Until you understand that God wants to speak through his written word when it is spoken. But the problem is we don't hear. Now, there's a simple prayer that you ought to pray before you listen to any sermon anywhere. If you're somewhere else, fine. Here's what you ought. Here's the prayer that takes it from here to here. And it's this. It's what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 3:9. He said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Every time you come to a worship service, that the prayer of your heart should be, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And as a servant, it means you have no rights except to do what the Father tells you to do, the Master. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That basically prepares you to hear what God wants you to say. But the problem is not the Bible. The problem is the condition of our heart. Now, I spoke to the youth on this last Wednesday night, and I'm going to speak to it to you. If you have your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. This is a passage of Scripture that's dealing with the condition of your heart. And I went back and added this into the sermon because it made so much sense to me. And this parable Jesus told basically has four different conditions of the heart that we have this morning. And you have one of these four, and I don't know which four you have, but the first thing you find in Mark chapter 4 is you have who the farmer is. Now look at verse 3. It says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. Okay, who is the farmer? Well, look down in the second part. Look down to verse 14. The farmer plants seed, because Jesus is explaining it. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So I want you to understand that the farmer in this story is anyone. In the case of Jesus, it was Jesus. He would go and share the good news with the people he spoke to. Or today, it could be someone like me sharing the good news. It's anyone who shares the Word of God. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a Bible study that you're in. But we need to understand that when Jesus tells this parable, the problem is not the person who sows the seed. It's not the seed. It is the heart of the people who hear. So on a Sunday morning, God can take whatever job I do, which sometimes is better than others, and if you receive it with the right kind of heart, it changes you. But the problem is there's four kind of conditions of the heart. And it used to be that when I studied this passage, I only saw this as a salvation story. But then as I've studied it and meditated on it and learned more about the passage, this story is about the four different kinds of hearts that are present every single time the Word of God is spoken. And the first heart that he talks about is the hard heart. Yeah, he's talking about the seed that goes on the path. And if you look up there in verse 5, or verse 4, it says, as he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. And if you look down to verse 15, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message with their ears, only to have Satan come and take it away. They only hear it. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Some of you have a hard heart. Now, you didn't come in and say, I have a hard heart. I'm not saying. Here's what a hard heart is. A hard heart is when you have determined you're not going to listen. And here's the way it a lot of times is expressed. I'm not going to let that preacher tell me what to do. I'm not going to listen to that part. Do you know what a footpath he's kind of talking about? I grew up, I'm not a farmer, and y'all know that. I'm not a hunter, you know that. I'm not a fisher, you know that. I'm just a city boy, but my grandfather had a farm. Had about 200 acres, and he raised, is that what you do with cattle? You raise cattle. And so one of the things I would do as a boy, I would go out there on the farm, and I would get on the cow trails. And all through the pasture, the cows, and I actually kind of looked this up, Googled it, they're actually all through the pasture, cow paths. Because cows go the same way every time. Once they get a path, they continue on the path, and everybody follows that path. And what I remember on that path, it was very hard. In Gainesville, Texas, it would be very hard. And if someone dropped something on that path, you could see it. It just laid there on top of it. And that is the picture of the sower, that there's some seed that landed on the cow trail. And it's just laying there. And with time, the bird, Satan, comes and takes it away. And here's the teaching to me. When you come into God's house with your mind already made up, you're not going to change, you're not going to listen, your heart is hard, and there's not a thing I can do to help you understand it. Why? Because your heart's hard. And that's a condition that happens all the time. It could be you're not a believer. You don't want to hear about the gospel. You don't want to change. You like your life the way it is. That's hard. But that's the first kind of heart that's present every single time the Word of God is preached. Then he talks about the second one. The second one is not the hard heart. It's the rocky heart. And if you look at verse 5, it says, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. And if you look down, Jesus said this. He says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have what? Problems. As soon as they have problems or have been persecuted for believing God's word. So the second one is shallow soil. And I've seen it, been doing this a long time. That's that person who hears and gets all excited. Pastor, I'm excited. I understand it now. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change the word. And I get all excited. I get all hyped up. And 3 weeks later, I don't even know where they are. And it could be trouble. It could be persecution. But what they find out is, they do not want to suffer for the truth. And there are people like that all the time. It sounds good. Hey, I want to follow Jesus. Oh, you mean I got to do that? Well, I kind of don't want to follow him as much. That's the rocky heart. And then the third kind of heart that he talks about is not the rocky hard. It is the thorny one, the ones with weeds. How many of you have trouble with weeds? Anybody? In my little garden, it's not much of a garden, my little flower bed, we have this bush on the corner. You can see it. It's been cut back thanks to pastor appreciation here. It's the only yard, only time my yard gets looking nice all year long is when someone else does it. But every year on that end plant or that bush, there's this thorn vine that grows all around it. And sometimes I'll go in there and forget that that thorny vine is there and grab it, and it's sharp. That's all I'm going to say. And if you'll look down, you'll see it's coming out of the ground. It's got little vines coming up, but they're full of thorns, and it just ruins a beautiful garden. And weeds, I've always struggled with weeds. I hate weeds. One of the reasons I don't like to have a garden is because somebody has to pick the weeds. But here's what Jesus said. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns represent those others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message. Now get this. This is the one I see most of. This heart is prevalent in most Americans. It says, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So three things. People a lot of times come to church and they're, you know, they want to grow, they want to hear it, until there's something better to do. People like, I love church until there's something better to do. Let me tell you something. There's something better you can do every Sunday. If you want fun, you want something that doesn't last you. I mean, you can chase pleasure every Sunday. But let me tell you what. I have watched the pursuit of pleasure crowd out God's word where it doesn't change a person. I mean, I've just seen it time and time again. And then the other thing, worry. Listen, when I'm worrying, I'm not listening. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm listening to the wrong person. And I struggle with worry. And what happens is all my time that could be spent listening to God is worrying about stuff that I can't fix anyway. So you have worry. You have other things. And what? The lure of wealth. The pursuit of wealth. How many times have I watched jobs take people out of God's plan? Now, you said, Bill, I got to have a job. I agree. But if you're going to miss worship the rest of your life for a job, how are you going to hear Him? Well, I'll hear it on my own. You know, the problem with that is you become your own God in understanding the Scripture. Leave me alone. I can change it and rationalize it and make it whatever I want it to be. You need someone else speaking truth in your life, just like I do. But this heart, it gets choked out by the things of this world, and it's not a good heart. You don't want a hard one, you don't want a shallow one, and you don't want a weedy or thorny heart. There's only one kind of heart you want, and that is the one He describes as the fertile soil. Here's what it does, and it says, and the seed that fell on the soil, on the good soil, represents those who hear. Now look at that next word. Accept. It's that word welcome. Deeper. The fertile soil is the person who hears but welcomes it in their heart. It radically, look what it says. It says it produces a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So it's not the seed that makes the difference. It's not the sower that makes the difference. It's the heart that makes the difference. And if your heart's not right, there's not going to be much change. That's why I'm so concerned about people who say, I don't need the church. It's just a private thing for me. No. That's not right. Because look what he says in the last part of that verse. The last part, if you go back to chapter 13 again. Go back there, and I'm about done. I know y'all are scared. Look at verse 13 again. It says, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received His message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted them. You welcomed them. And then look at the very last part of verse 13. And this word continues to work at you, in you who believe. In other words, what happens is when you take God's word, whether it's a sermon, whether it's a Bible study, something that you hear, and you take it from your head to your heart, guess what? After the service, it keeps working on you. Why? Because it's deep inside. It's kind of like once you get it inside you, it messes you up. God's word is meant to be that way. It's a supernatural thing. I don't understand it. I really don't. But here's the second thing he says. Understanding the gospel produces a proper understanding of suffering. What Paul said, guess what? You now know what it's like to be me. He said, I came here, you remember in Acts 17, I came here and the Jewish people got upset because we talked about Jesus being the Messiah. And they persecuted me, and after 3 weeks to 3 months, they drove us out of town because we kept saying, Jesus is the Messiah, and they started persecuting you. Paul told Timothy, all those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. When you begin to listen, if you just listen and go away unchanged, you won't be persecuted. But if you start changing the way that you live, the way you believe and the way you think, then people begin to get upset. And I love it that he says, hey, you guys know what it's like now. That's what happened to the church in Jerusalem. We got persecuted because we said that. Understand, we do not teach an easy gospel. I'm here to say, if you live for Christ, people are going to be upset with you. That's just the way it is. And then the last thing is this. This is the scary part. Continual rejection of God's grace leads to His eternal wrath. Here's what he's saying. If you continually reject the grace of Jesus Christ, if you continually bother the Gentiles and not let the Jewish people share with them the good news. See, what was happening is those Jews didn't want Paul and his group to talk about Jesus to the other Jews. And they didn't want them to hear the good news. And so in verse 16, what he said is, you are lost. And not only do you just have your own set of sin and your own rejection, you're keeping other people from hearing the gospel. And what he says, you're just piling it up. And what he's saying is, if you reject the grace of Jesus Christ, guess what? There's no hope for you. You're in bad shape. Continual rejection of God's grace leads to God's wrath. But look what he says. And I'm done with this. Romans 5, 8, 9. In Romans 5, 8, 9, he gives the answer. It's not religion. It's relationship. He says, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. God showed His love because we were piling it up. Our sin. God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still what? Sinners. You know, here's the thing about the gospel. God does not wait for you to get better to provide a way to make you better. He said, while you're still doing wrong, God provided hope for you. Then look what He said. And since we have been made right in God's sight by our works. No, listen. Anybody that tells you you can lose your salvation is a liar, and I want it to be heard. Because that's one of the favorite tools of preachers, get people to doubt. You either are or you aren't. And it says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by what? By the blood of Christ. The only way you get to erase the sin pattern is by receiving His Son and His grace. And look what He says. And He will certainly save us from God's condemnation, which is another word for wrath. How do you get saved by God's wrath? By being good? No. By being in a church? No. It's by receiving the gospel. By receiving the gospel, which is His forgiveness. The only way you take care of sin is through Jesus. The only way. And so Paul is just simply saying to these Thessalonians, listen, you're unlike the Corinthian church. You received what we said and you were changed. So hearing is important when it gets down here, when you welcome it. Then it begins, when it gets down here, it starts to work out of you. And that's when people begin to see it. So, how's your hearing? Some of you may or may not heard a word I said. But here's the thing, if you didn't hear it, it's on you. You had the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody here this morning. I thank you for the privilege and I thank you for the joy of being able to hear the gospel. Father, many people come week after week, year after year, and don't hear. Father, help us not to just hear, but to welcome your word into our lives, and that when we welcome that word into our lives, it changes us. Father, there is the need for us to understand that salvation comes through grace, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, what a beautiful thing. Father, help us to realize how important it is to leave this morning with your word welcomed deep inside us. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this letter that can change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Couple of announcements. Tomorrow night, our